I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dave Wannstedt is going to join us, and Tony Wise is too.
Tony Wise is watching the Yankees and rooting for the Yankees. I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt.
Tony, tell the people what you said to Spiegs when he told you where he grew up.
He said, I grew up in Jersey. I said, well, that makes no sense.
Tony, if indeed it were even available, could you incorporate a left tackle?
No.
Asked and answered.
Eric Williams from Central State. You know, he was blocking guys this high, okay? Mm. But he tried to murder him. And that's what stood out. And I was big into that. Guys trying to murder guys. So I said on the report, I said...
Not literally, to be clear.
Right. Told the listeners.
He means it in football terms.
Yes.
We're with you, coach.
Thank you.
Doing your thing.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, thank you. Nobody has my email, so we're okay with that. So...
6 years here and 6 different quarterbacks starting. How's that sound?
Not good, buddy.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Not good at all. What else you want to know? Should have been a wishbone coach. Now I won't have to worry about that.
Tony, when you come back, we need to talk about a television show called Tulsa King with Sylvester
Stallone.
You've watched it?
Of course I do.
I'm watching Chicago Fire last night. We get home from dinner, and I said, do you like this? And he says, I don't watch TV. He says, I don't watch anything except sports and movies.
He's into broadcast TV.
Well, I like Chicago. I was in Chicago Fire. I watch it. I'm loyal.
Gentlemen, this was a delight. We truly appreciate you guys' time.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
You know, you come to expect excellence from a Chris Tannehill. That's one of your best ever. That is top-notch stuff right there, where we had a blast yesterday with Dave Wannstedt and Tony Wise here in studio telling stories.
Yeah, man.
Having fun, enjoying themselves.
And their show on the Lifetime Network is just delightful.
We're hoping that we can get the rights to it to go on right before That's Montez. Because I feel like if you could pair those two shows up, it would be great. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We've got Tanny. We've got Shane. We are here. The mob is active already inside of the Twitch stream.
Mob.
You can also text the show if you wish at 312-644-6767.
So our first question, or at least mine anyway, to Olin Krutz when he joins us at 4 o'clock here on the bye week is, how was coffee this morning with Tony Wise? So we got to talk to Tony yesterday. There's something lovely about these football killers who love to talk about the offensive line technique and love to talk about guys murdering people, but are actually a delight to hang out with. There's a nice dichotomy there, isn't there?
It's part of the reason that my career has done what it's done. I mean, I sat with killers every week, and they were the sweetest guys.
Yeah, you and Dan Hampton?
Me and Hamp. Me and Alex.
Dan
and
Bernstein's
Lance.
Murdered a couple people.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Not in a football sense.
Right.
He's just murdered them with boredom, like his semantics conversation. What was that during transition? It was a terrible moment.
I have a different question because you just brought up Olin. How are you going to make him uncomfortable today?
Me?
Yeah.
What did I do last week?
Last week when you pissed him off when...
yeah, you were talking trash about Carmel.
Yes. Well,
I caught Elijah Hicks, a center.
It was like the first sentence.
Yeah, he took a shot at me about
some
that.
Way.
Tanny's got it.
Yeah, I have it. Okay. You guys can just keep trying to figure out what it was. We were talking about God's
Shane,
play.
Shane, what was it? Hold on.
We were talking about God's play, and you asked Olin if he ran God's play, and I believe he said that, you know, my alma mater, DePaul Prep, stopped that play.
Oh, yeah.
And then you said, oh, no. And then I don't think he liked the way you said that. So he made fun of the way you said, oh, no.
You're right.
My biggest issue is with you saying, oh, no, the way you did.
That's right, yeah. I didn't think it was a problem. I was genuinely sympathetic or empathetic.
It didn't come across that way.
It came across like a snide jackass.
Yes.
He left the building a while ago, all right?
Snide jackass?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Speaks my biggest issue is with you saying, oh, no.
Well,
now you guys have made him uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to go in the tank for
that Friday,
segment.
Baby.
Don't go in the tank.
Everyone should be on their toes today.
There's White Sox stuff for us to discuss.
Lawrence, you know what? You're a great partner because you keep me from getting in the tank. You do? You know, sometimes you bar the door to the tank. You just won't let me go in there.
Yeah.
I start walking up the ladder, and you won't let me go there.
Imagine what I would do for Shane during softball games, too.
Because you need him. You need him in the later innings.
Got to have him.
Yeah.
Got to have him. Can't lose him.
Last time I saw that, it was Shane Reardon in a media game.
Can't lose him.
You cannot lose him. All right, so you mentioned there is White Sox stuff because there's not a lot of new to the story except what we dig around and kind of figure out. And there's also some context we can add to a major player in it. But we do have something new because Shane did some digging.
Yeah, so Shane, update the people on what you've been trying to do for the show and how you finally got a response.
Yeah, so in December of last year when Jerry went down to Nashville and it was rumored that he met with Nashville Mayor Freddie O'Connell.
He did indeed meet with the Nashville mayor, and we talked about this yesterday, just let me add this context, where the purported reason for the meeting was to pitch the mayor on Dave Stewart, to advocate for Dave Stewart as a possible owner. But then word got out via Cranes, which Jerry mentioned, that maybe it was Jerry making a leverage play to try and use Nashville to get state funding here in Chicago.
So when I connected with Freddie O'Connell, the mayor of Nashville, last year, December 6th of 2023, he said that he's got no meaningful comment, that Mr. Reinsdorf was here for the winter meetings and we had an opportunity for an informal visit, which is something the owner of the White Sox would normally do with the mayor of Nashville. Just visit with him informally. Someone that he doesn't know, definitely just an informal visit, just hanging out as buddies, having coffee.
Well, so the exact communication back was that the beginning of that.
Exactly. That Mr. Reinsdorf was here for the winter meetings. We had an informal visit. That was their first meeting.
Okay.
And then I got back a hold of them today, and they said that they have not had any communication with the White Sox or MLB on the White Sox relocating. So that's coming from Freddie O'Connell's office as of today.
Okay, so there's another story that goes along with this, and dogged stuff by you, Shane, to get people to at least comment on the record. If you hadn't heard, Cranes had this story earlier today. U of I pulls the plug on Discovery Partners Institute plan at the 78. For those of you who don't remember, the 78 is the parcel of land that's purported to be the 78th neighborhood in Chicago where Jerry Reinsdorf was saying, well, we could be the flagpole tenant there with the White Sox if the state would give him money to build something there. So that's the backdrop. Here's part of the story. This courtesy of Cranes. The University of Illinois is scrapping its plans to build a $285 million research and teaching facility called the Discovery Partners Institute in the South Loop on the proposed site of the 78.
So Illinois is dropping its plans to be part of it.
Correct. Instead, it wants to split the project in two with the presence of the new quantum technology campus on the far south side at the former U.S. Steel plant and classroom and office space downtown. The decision came just after preliminary construction had begun on the 1.5-acre site near 15th and Wells Street, the south end of the 62-acre neighborhood development known as the 78, when the university abruptly stopped the work to reconsider. And because they're doing that, they know that taking that next step in technology, Governor Pritzker has committed $500 million to quantum, including Illinois Quantum and Microelectrics Park, which is going to be down on the lakefront near like 83rd Street, which is part of the reason that I would often push back on the Bears and go, you could have just gone farther south. Mm. They're building a park down there on the lakefront.
Mm-hmm.
But I fear Kevin Warren has never been south of I-55.
To go back to the 78 and the White Sox angle of this, when you hear that Illinois is dropping out of their educational facility there, it sure sounds like they know that something a bit more entertainment focused is probably going to win out there, like a baseball park, or at least that's where it seems to possibly be heading. Like, that bit of news to me coalesces with the Nashville Leverage and now the purported offers, plural, that may have come to Jerry Reinsdorf's lap as he is trying to get this White Sox stadium built on the 78.
Let me read you the final paragraph of this piece because it'll add some context to it as well.
Somebody at Cranes.
Related Midwest, meanwhile, is focused on landing a new sports stadium, or perhaps two of them, as anchor tenants, which is no sure bet. Pritzker and legislators have been cool to the idea of spending limited public dollars to build stadiums for privately owned sports teams. White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf is reportedly having discussions about selling the team. Bailey, Related's local chief, said his firm will continue to pursue a White Sox stadium on the site, quote, with all that we have, close quote. Removing the DPI project from the south end of the 78 could allow Related Midwest to be much more flexible with how we can program this most important piece of real estate. This is the natural place for the White Sox to have their new home. It is the best solution for the city, for the state. It would change the city of Chicago for the better in perpetuity.
I think when we strip it all away and we think about the city itself and whether you want two teams or not in this town, and I wrote this as soon as the news broke of this possibility, I think it is a lovely image for the next 30 years of White Sox baseball to have a stadium there. I think it would be a beautiful and very healthy thing. I know that Jerry Reinsdorf does not seem like someone who deserves it, and maybe it would get sold and go to a new owner in the process and in the ensuing years, and that would make it more palatable to some people. But I believe you and I are on different sides of this, and I think we will have a lot of time to explore those differences and dive into the conflict of it. But I think it would be freaking awesome to have a new White Sox ballpark right there as a guy who loves being in a two-team town.
It would be awesome. There's nothing wrong with the ballpark that they play in currently.
I don't think that is factually
flip it around.
Correct.
Put it on the site of Old Comiskey and flip it around.
And who chose to not do that?
Jerry.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him another crack at it?
Nope. Or, Lawrence, screw the Friends of the Park and put a White Sox stadium on the current site of Soldier Field and move the new Soldier Field to the south lot and build yourself a campus.
I believe that is muddying the waters with a possibility that is not going
no,
to happen.
I don't want to put the stadium in the water. I don't want to put it in there. There's okay. No mud okay, going in the water.
It's
I want
floating.
It on
it's
the
floating.
On the ground okay. Speaks. There's no muddying
football
the waters.
I
it looks bad where it is, Speaks.
I think we are looking at 78 or Nashville.
Yeah,
I think that's where this is heading if we're not specifically there right now.
That jives with what I've been hearing. Like, that jibes with, you know, actual people that might know, say, either there's going to be a new stadium or the new stadium is going to be in Nashville.
And what is better for the city long term and the baseball fans long term in this town?
I would need a much more compelling argument than vibes to agree with that statement.
I understand. But vibes and history and...
The history is right there at 35th and Shields.
I hear
since you. Since 1901.
Mm-hmm.
And even you know, like the history of Southside baseball, specifically over there by and around those train tracks, is really important and not talked about enough. And to move it just because you want to be in a prettier place, I also think they'd have a hell of a fight. Because if I'm the Cubs, I'm like, wait a damn minute.
Oh, yeah, no.
We are the number one, tourist
hey, man,
attraction.
Like, they told old man Comiskey that he couldn't bring the team north of 35th Street in 1865. So they still don't want it that close.
Well,
and they might have something to say.
They also wanted that money. And they didn't get money the type of way that the White Sox would have to get money to do this thing.
And Lawrence, it's all connected as well to the fact that they blew it in the early 90s when I think they should have gone to the South Loop, which did not exist. You think they should have stayed at 35th and Shields and just flipped it?
Yeah.
I think they
should have also taken the plans for Baltimore.
Yeah, they should.
Camden Yards.
I think they should have taken the plans from Baltimore and built it at like 16th and Michigan where nothing was, you know, or 15th and Michigan. Then you would have done what Coors Field did in Denver, what so many other places did. in Arizona, where you essentially have a downtown stadium that is one bus, one quick bus ride or a bike ride away from downtown.
Or a driverless car. I took that the last time I was in Arizona.
Thank you, Arizona. So anyway, you'd be righting a lot of wrongs by putting it at where the 78 is.
Well,
you'd
be
creating more.
Look, we had another plan for what the next segment was going to be, but we both are passionate about this, and we haven't really had a chance to talk to White Sox fans this week about how they feel about all of this. Let's do that right now. Let's right that wrong. 312-644-6767 is the number. How do you feel about all of this? The reports that Jerry is thinking about selling the team, the idea that the team could end up moving to Nashville, the 78. We want to give you carte blanche to talk about whatever aspect of this that you want. 312-644-6767 is the number. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show, taking your phone calls next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Look at this duo. He's all grown up. Look at you two. I love the mashup between you two, by the way. It's like two great comic books that I used to collect are now a team up.
Afternoons on The Score.
Now, White Sox fan, unfortunately, I am.
That's what we're talking about right now. All the news about the White Sox over the last few days and your reaction to it. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We appreciate you hanging out. Dan Wiederer is going to talk Bears with us coming up at 3 o'clock. So don't go anywhere. Speaks, you want to talk with the people?
Let's do it. And let me say, Lawrence, I would love for Jerry to need zero public dollars to make it happen. This ballpark on the 78 and maybe the people at Related Midwest and that owner of the Dolphins who also owns Related Midwest, maybe he could get involved. And if there's a sale before it gets completed, that would be fine by me. I just really like the image of a ballpark where it ought to be at the 78.
Let's go to Chris. He's calling us from Hoffman. Hey, Chris, you're on the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say this is about Jerry Reinsdorf, and the fact of the matter is he's the man that basically was part of the white flag trade. He gave up when he had a shot. Now he had a rebuild, and instead of hiring a manager with any competency, he hired a man with alcohol problems and then ruined that rebuild and now has another rebuild to go. So here's all I have to say to Jerry Reinsdorf. Take your team to Tennessee and listen to country music for the rest of your life because nobody cares. This is a Cubs town.
Oh, see?
What's wrong with country?
Oh, there it is. At the end.
I mean, 99% correct. We loved that and then ruined it. With
Sox
that.
Fans yeah. will accept it from a Sox fan, but not from a Cubs fan.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point of view where Chicago Metro is, what, 9 million? Nashville Metro is 2 million? But how many of the 9 million are White Sox fans?
It's a good question.
When we talk about this market,
you're totally right.
We talk about it. No way, Shane.
It's not. You don't think three?
I think no. I do not.
At the very least,
I think we are small but mighty.
Don't compare market size of Chicago and Nashville. Compare half, but I think it's less than that. To Lawrence's point.
Yep. Let's go to Pat. He's calling from LaSalle.
Pat.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Pat. You're on the Score.
Hey, boys. It's Pat. I'm 20 years old. I'm still pretty young, but I've been a White Sox fan for as long as I can remember. And I just, I love the city of Chicago. I'm not from there, but I'm born in Illinois. And, you know, Jerry's got to figure something out. He either needs to go to the retirement home or, you know, something. But we love the White Sox in Chicago. I know there's a misconception that it's only Cubs fans, but that's not the reality. And they need to figure it out and get us some good players and start winning.
You know what's interesting, Spees, because we both have been here at the Score for a long time. Uh-huh. We both have had our stint as call screeners here as producers.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like we're having like Back to the Future moments right now.
I don't believe that these that guy,
younger,
Pat.
These are younger people who are calling in and doing stuff that we heard when we were taking calls in the 90s.
It's lovely. Welcome. Welcome one, welcome all. Let's discuss. I mean, if we believe that the bottom line is the 78 or
Nashville,
I don't know that people have wrapped their head around that reality, if that is indeed what the reality is.
I think we are still in a place, though, where public money for private enterprise, and especially that particular owner's enterprise, when you see multiple things that owner has been a part of that haven't been so great. How much time have we spent this week talking about CHSN,
for example? By the way, that was the oldest sounding 20-year-old I've ever encountered in my life.
Back in the yards. Yeah. Let's go to Sean. Hey, Sean, you're on the Score.
Hey, the first caller made me call. At first, I was just going to listen because I'm not a Sox fan at all. I'm Cubs. I bleed blue. Jerry, I'm so close to dropping. When I heard that he was selling the team, I literally screamed at the TV and said, "Why are you not selling the Bulls? F the Sox. Sell the Bulls, please."
Wow, we somehow got into a weird vortex of people just going number two on the Sox.
And on Reinsdorf.
But I get it because they're the worst team in the history of baseball. They accomplished that this year.
And they might be. Maybe they're starting to make a turn. But you could call them the worst organization in professional sports.
How about we go to Lakeview? Because this has just been really, really interesting. Lakeview and Michael. Hey, Michael, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, Michael.
I hope I can raise the bar a little bit. So although I live a couple blocks from Wrigley, born a Sox fan, was a season ticket holder until I had kids, and it just became difficult. As a resident of Chicago, taxpayer of Chicago, I don't want a damn dollar of mine to go to this man. As a Sox fan, I don't think it's even debatable. It is the worst run organization in the city, and I could probably argue that it's the worst run organization in all of Major League Baseball.
Oh yeah.
I don't trust him for taking our tax dollars and building a park, because he already failed on that on the South Side. If you ever want to look at something and be really aggravated, look at the Armor Park project and the renderings that they had for that stadium and what could have been and what he could have done to that neighborhood. The other thing I think is equally as important, the people of Bridgeport, and Lawrence, I know you've referenced this, have supported that team for years. To leave them high and dry and pull that from that neighborhood is ridiculous. It has been a tenant on the South Side of Chicago. It should stay there. We should not have to pay for his mistakes. And if $1 goes to it, I hope every politician who supports it gets booted out of office because it's ridiculous.
All right, and you're okay, Michael, with Nashville as opposed to, you know, what if there's a tiny amount of public money and there's a much larger amount of private money?
Nashville? As long as he's not involved with it, I'm fine. As long as he's involved with it, not $1 goes, because we've already went down that road before and he's failed to deliver any of his promises that he made at the time.
Hear, hear, Michael.
That's fair.
Hear, hear.
I get it.
That's exactly how. You're just going to leave that building over there? Just have that. That's cool. They're just going to leave an empty building over at 35th.
No, they released something as part of the plans for the 78 that showed a conversion for that area.
You're going to turn it into like the Indianapolis Yankees affiliate to turn their ballpark into a condos. That what your plan is to turn the ballpark into condos. I'll believe it when I see it all. How many lies have been told to the citizens of Chicago, and specifically the residents of the South Side of Chicago, mm-hmm. when it comes to what's going to be done for them? I'm good.
Yeah, what's interesting is like the plan that they've now put out for what they're going to do around the United Center.
I'm actually for.
Of course, because it's akin to what was promised in regards to you, what the time was U.S. Cellular, New Comiskey.
And it's private
money. And they never did that there, but now they're going to do it near the United Center. So does that give you reason to believe that perhaps they would actually do what they're saying with the old site if they're actually going to do this?
No, because...
Because the Wirtz family's involved
no,
there.
No, because the United Center is there, so they're still going to make money off of that. But I like that. I like the 1901 project quite a bit. Because it's actually helping the neighborhood, and the investment is more private than public. And the choices, from what I've seen of the 1901 project, the ask for public money is stuff that people actually need. Like, oh, here's a train stop. Here's different bus. Like, that sort of infrastructure stuff makes more sense. I'm glad that people are so passionate about this. It makes me feel like we made the right call in taking people's calls. We do want to talk a little bit of Bears. Dan Weederer is going to join us in the next segment. We'll find out what he thought of last week and what the Bears are doing on the bye before we turn the page on Monday. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.